Dublin Sporting Communities, funded by Comisshoon the Man, with the television licence fee on Sunshine 106.8.
Yes, indeed. So it's that time of the show where we take a closer look at the Dublin sports clubs and what they're contributing to the community. This week, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Daniel English, who's the Director of Football at Carduff Soccer Club. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Hi, Reggie. How are you?
Great. Thanks for coming on the show and giving us a little bit of insight into your wonderful club there. So give us a little bit of a history of Carduff, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so history now. This is Carduff's 48th year. They're established in 1976, so 2026 will be the 50th year. And, you know, we're very embedded now in the community. Really, it's since 2019, we went from, you know, 17 teams to we now have 31, which we expect will probably go to probably, you know, 33, 34 at the start of next season in September.
Yeah.
This year now as well, we've actually brought in girls football into the club, which is something we were trying to do for, you know, 2-3 years, and it always proved difficult. And then obviously with the way the girls game is growing, at the start of the year when we were trying to get it going, we got lucky enough and got a lot of girls interested, and now we have an under 9s team and under 14s.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we probably, you know, would have an under 8s and an under 10s kind of this September, hopefully. That's the plan now. So yeah, it's going from strength to strength. Constantly expanding and catering for the community, which is brilliant, you know.
And the community, as you mentioned, is expanding, ever expanding. Everything seems to be getting built outwards and in towards the country. So, I mean, Blanchardstown and Northern Blanchardstown, that area in particular, is growing. So it must be quite difficult, facilities-wise, to be able to look after all these teams, expand it to 34 teams. It must get really, really tight for space, is it?
Yeah, it is very tight. Like in Carduff, we would have, we have the community centre Astro. Now, it's not a full-size Astro, so it's fairly tight for training during the week. Now, it is getting redeveloped, hopefully, over the next 12 to 18 months. And then we'd have in the park two 11-a-side pitches. But yeah, like for training, when you have that amount of teams, it's very difficult to manage. And it's only going to keep growing. You know, all throughout the year, we're getting inquiries for players looking to join the club, which is brilliant. But it is very hard to take them all on throughout the year. So generally now, like coming in, the season is kind of winding down. We'll, you know, advertise for players, and it will give us from, say, May right up until September to start forming new teams and seeing what level each player is going in at. And then obviously trying to recruit coaches for them. But yeah, once you give yourself a good running time, then you can nearly be guaranteed that you can take most of them in over the summer.
Yeah.
It's just throughout the year is difficult because, you know, you might have teams that are already, you know, full or slightly oversubscribed already, and you know, you don't want to be affecting kids' game time by bringing more in. So it's kind of, you try cater for them all, but you won't get them all. But if you get 70-80% of them, you know, at the end of the year, it'd be brilliant.
And you kind of had a little bit of difficulty recently, or negotiations, let's say, with the council, where they were trying to redevelop some of the pitches. Isn't that true as well?
Yeah, we did. So we got news there in November that the council wanted to take away pitch 2, and you know, that would have been a massive loss for the club, because it's something that's used every weekend for the games, for mainly 11-a-side, 9-a-side. But then during the summer, of course, and you know, at the start of the year, we always host Carduff tournaments, so them pitches are always used for, you know, under 8s, under 9s, 10s, 11s tournaments, and they're brilliant tournaments we've run each year. So yeah, well, it would have been a massive loss, because the amount of games, it's probably 6-7 games played on that each weekend, and then throughout the year the tournaments and various camps we run. So it was very difficult to deal with, but you know, thankfully the decision was reversed, which was brilliant. And yeah, really appreciate that. It's everyone's kind of, you know, singing off the same hymn sheet now, because that's crucial. Like you would have had to put a cap in your number and end up releasing some teams, which just is something you can't do nowadays. You know, you need to keep kids engaged in sport.
Absolutely.
More than ever now, I think.
Of course, you have as the kids, you have a pretty successful senior side as well. They're playing in Senior 1B on Sundays. How's everything going there?
So yeah, we've an over 35 senior team now. So we're in the summer now, we're looking to relaunch the actual senior setup. So we're kind of in the plans and in the process of doing that now at the moment. Because in the past, we have a very good senior team. The 35s have done very well in the last couple of years. So they're still going strong now, and it's, you know, looking to grow the club further and having a couple of more senior teams. So, yeah, hopefully it all goes to plan.
Excellent stuff. And tell me, Daniel, where, you know, this piece is about the community and that's why we focus on clubs like yourself. Where are you seeing the biggest growth area within the club and the highest level of demand? Is it in the girls' side of the game? Is it underage? What exactly is it?
It's definitely underage. I think the ages of, you know, kids that are under 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, there's so many of them looking to come around, particularly the 2015 and 14 age group. And I think it's probably when kids are, you know, at the age of 6 and 7, so essentially to be under 7s, the parents are trying different sports for them. And I think then when it comes to, you know, under 9s or 10s, then they're kind of finding a sport they feel comfortable at and they're looking to permanently join that. So I think there may be a bit of sport hopping, if you want to call it, at under 7s and 8s, because they want to kind of find a sport that's right for them, because we always find when kids come up they've been doing, you know, 3 or 4 different sports, and generally they kind of want to settle down and have 1 or 2 going. So definitely the under 9s and 10s. The girls is grown now. Like, we've, since we set up the girls team, you know, we went from starting off with 6 or 7 to a team of 15 in the under 9s, and then the under 14 girls. We started off last year in Cardiff Park with 5 girls. There's now 18 girls in the panel. So I imagine that will keep growing. Like, how well the senior Irish women's team is doing now, and just the general growth of the game in Ireland. I think, you know, a lot more girls are looking to get involved in it, and they feel, you know, more comfortable as well joining, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and visibility, of course, is everything. So when they're seeing that, they want to join, and as you said, take part in it. But as well as that, I'm always struck, because my lads are involved in football as well, but the DDSL and the standards of football, I'm so surprised at some of the games that I go to. The quality of the football, the standard of the football, like, you know, FAI comes in for a bit of criticism now and again, but there does seem to be good coaching structures within all of the clubs when I'm looking at the football that I'm looking at anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there is a massive improvement, and the DDSL has underwent a lot of change in the last, particularly 2 years, and, you know, they're doing a lot of great work, and the clubs themselves, I think, are, you know, really pushing on and improving their coaches as much as they can, which is important. I do think we can get a lot more coach education going, okay, country, in terms of providing it for clubs from an FAI point of view. So that's something I'd hope to see, because, you know, it's important that we have as much coaches qualified at their own age as we can. But yeah, in terms of the DDSL, they've done absolutely cracking work. Really, really good, and they're getting, they've a lot of good people involved with Mick Kennedy, the new general manager, Barry Ferguson, the director of football, and you can really see the changes went through. And, you know, in fairness, my dealings with them over the last number of years have been very good, very receptive, and always looking to help, which is important, you know. And you can see now with the amount of people they have involved in it,
it's really starting to progress. That's great. Well, that's 100%. Good to hear. That's good to hear. Well, Daniel, thanks so much for taking the time this morning to tell us all about Cardiff. It sounds like a wonderful club, and you're going from strength to strength out there in North Blanchardstown. So the best of luck with everything. Good luck to all your teams, and I hope you have a wonderful season.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
You're very
welcome. See you soon,
Reggie. Take care. That's Daniel English there, Director of Football in Cardiff Soccer Club. As he said there, expanding all the time, gone from, I think he said 31 now to 34, 35 teams within the community, and expanding all the time. Must be hard to try and find a little bit of pitch space there of a Tuesday or a Wednesday evening for training. I'd imagine there's a lot of competition for all of those spaces, but the very best of luck to them, and another example of our community piece here on Dublin's Talking Sport.
Dublin's Sporting Communities, funded by Commissioon the Man, with the television licence fee on Sunshine 106.8.